Chapter 7. The Need for Communication. Part 3.
A woman was walking along the beach one day when she stumbled upon an unusual old lamp. As she picked it up and cleaned it off, a genie suddenly appeared. So the amazed woman asked if she was going to receive the usual three wishes. But the genie replied, "Nope, due to inflation, constant downsizing, low wages in third world countries, and fierce global competition, I can only grant you one wish. So, what'll it be?" Well, being a compassionate woman, she didn't even hesitate. She said, "I want peace in the Middle East. See this map? I want these countries to stop fighting with each other." But the genie looked at the map and exclaimed, "My goodness, lady. These countries have been at war for thousands of years. I'm good, but not that good. I don't think it can be done. Make another wish." So the woman thought for a minute and said, "Well, I've never been able to find the right man. You know, one that's considerate and fun, likes to cook and helps with the house cleaning, gets along with my family, doesn't watch sports all the time, and is faithful. That's what I wish for." But the genie let out a long sigh and said, "Let me see that map."
"Yes, ladies, it sure is a huge letdown when you discover there's no such thing as a perfect man, right? But ladies, did you also know there's no such thing as a perfect woman either? And hey, if we're honest with each other, I think we'd all have to agree that sometimes our marriages can be full of these kind of letdowns, can't they? And I guess that's why one guy said, 'Yeah, I'm married Miss Wright. I just didn't know her first name was Always.' But seriously, is this the kind of relationship that God had in mind when he instituted marriage in the Garden of Eden? Folks, I'm here to tell you that the answer is absolutely not. Yes, Adam and Eve blew it in the Garden of Eden, and along with this, they also blew the chance of having a perfect marriage. But the good news is that even though you and I may never have a perfect marriage, it doesn't mean that we've got to resign ourselves to a life of personal pain and silent suffering. It just means that it's going to take some time and lots of work. Why? Because folks, marriages aren't made in heaven, they're made right here on earth. Therefore, we're going to continue looking at the steps for having a marriage built to last. We already saw the first step in building a lasting marriage was to acknowledge that marriage is under attack. The second step was to acknowledge that men and women are different. The third step was to acknowledge that love is an action. The fourth step was to acknowledge the need for romance. And in the last two chapters we saw that the fifth step in building a lasting marriage was to acknowledge the need for communication. And there we saw that if we're going to avoid communication breakdown then we need to give each other some time and give each other some clarity and give each other some ear. But people, that's not the only thing we need to know if we're going to have healthy communication in our marriages. The fourth practical way to avoid communication breakdown is by giving each other some respect. You see, even when we get around to investing the time, clarity, and ear to communicate, we can still blow it if our behavior toward the other person is outright disrespectful. And that's precisely why Jesus said this.
Matthew 7:12 In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets.
Now according to our text, Jesus simply declares that you and I need to treat others just like we want to be treated, or in other words, give each other some respect. And folks, treating each other with respect is the Achilles heel when it comes to effective communication. You see, we can spend tons of time, give lots of clarity and lend all the ear we want to communicate. But if we don't give each other some respect, then guess what? We're wasting our time. And why is that? Well, think about it. There's nothing worse than finally getting around to spilling your guts to somebody, only to have them treat you disrespectfully. And when somebody does that to us, what's our natural response? We tend to shut down and clam up, and head straight back to communication breakdown. Therefore, when it comes to giving some respect for healthy communication, there are a couple of things we need to be aware of if it's going to be effective. And the first thing we need to do is to stay away from absolutes. Folks, believe it or not, one of the worst things you could ever do when trying to share what's on your heart is to use absolute statements. Let me give you a couple of examples. For instance, it could be saying, "You never listen to me. You never care about my feelings. You always get to do what you want. You'll always be just like your mother or father." Now if we're honest, for most of us, those are fighting words, aren't they? Why? Because they come across as being disrespectful. And it's not a matter of whether or not they're true. In fact, for the most part, they very well could be true. But because they're not absolutely true all the time, we'll take it as a disrespectful comment and resort to defending ourselves. For instance, wives, if you've ever used the absolute statement to your husband, "You never take out the trash," what do we usually say? We respond with, "Oh, I do too." Remember that time back in the early 80s when you were hospitalized for 5 weeks? "I took out the trash once." So there, you can't say "I never have." Sound familiar? And the reason why this is such a common scenario is because absolute statements usually push us into defense mode and our discussion quickly turns into a debate. And at that point, we're no longer on the original issue, but now we're off on a tangent. Why? All because we used an absolute statement. Instead, try using words like this: "I feel like sometimes," or "sometimes, honey, it would appear to me that," or "could it be true that maybe this is how," do you see the difference? Now you're still communicating what's on your heart, but now you're doing it in a non-threatening way. You're doing it in a way that doesn't come across as being disrespectful. And people, as ridiculous as this communication game might be, we all do it, don't we? Therefore, to avoid communication breakdown, simply stay away from absolutes. Treat others the way you'd want to be treated. The second thing we need to do is to stay away from mind reading. Now, how many of you would agree that sometimes it's awfully hard to figure out what men and women mean, let alone what they're thinking? Sometimes it requires a little detective work to figure things out. For instance, when a woman says to a man, "I don't know, what do you want to do?" She really means, "I can't believe you don't have anything planned." Or when a wife asks her husband, "How does this dress look on me?" She really means, "We haven't had a good fight in a while." Or when a man tells his wife, "I can't find it," he really means, "It didn't fall into my outstretched hands, so I'm absolutely clueless." Or when a man says to his wife, "I missed you," he really means, "I can't find my sock drawer, the kids are hungry, and we are out of toilet paper." Now, as you can see, sometimes when we communicate to each other, we need to read between the lines. And people, it's one thing to read between the lines, but it's another thing to expect your spouse to read your mind. And ladies, let me share a little secret with you. Trying to get your husband to read your mind is a one-way ticket to frustration land. How many of you have learned that one yet? And when you do this, you're going to get mad at him for not being able to read your mind and say something like, "You better get with the program, buddy." And ladies, honestly, half the time we don't even know there is one, okay, ? Therefore, how can you expect us to read your mind? And it doesn't mean we're not paying attention. It doesn't mean we don't care. Remember, men and women speak a different language. Therefore, as men and women, we simply need to express what's on our minds. Don't take it for granted that your spouse should know, because they might very well not know. And I know that may sound pretty basic, but for some reason we expect our spouse to have godlike attributes to somehow sovereignly know what the other person is thinking. But hello, your spouse is not God. How many of you would agree with that? In fact, that may be part of our problems. We think we are God. But since your spouse isn't God, and never will be God, don't get mad at them for not being able to read your mind. They can't and they never will. Instead, express what's on your mind. Don't expect to have it read. And people, as comical as this communication game might be, we all do it, don't we? Therefore, to avoid communication breakdown, simply stay away from mind reading. Treat others the way you'd want to be treated. The third thing we need to do is to stay away from degrading behavior. You see, even when we've worked real hard at not using absolutes, and now we're no longer expecting our spouse to read our minds, we can still blow it by being disrespectful with degrading physical behavior. And the first way we can display degrading behavior is by our tone. You see, when we communicate with each other, we might have all the right words, but we'll still experience communication breakdown if we have the wrong tone of voice. For instance, we can resort to yelling, sarcasm, or the robot voice. And speaking of yelling, I'm sure that none of us ever yells at each other, do we? Oh no, especially since we're Christians. I mean, we don't yell, we merely have vocally challenged discussions or intense moments of fellowship, right? Well, call it what you will, yelling will get you nowhere.
Proverbs 15:1: A gentle answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger.
You see, the Bible simply declares that yelling is one of the fastest ways to actually make matters worse. Why? Because it stirs up anger. Why? Because yelling is very disrespectful. Oh, but so is sarcasm and the old robot voice. For instance, a person can say in an even tone, "Oh, yes, I love you." Or they can say the exact same words sarcastically.
"Oh yeah, I love you."
Or the robot voice.
"Oh, yes, I love you."
Now, I know none of us really do that, but for those weird people down south, let me explain. You see, what's happening is that even though you have the right words, your tone is giving a double meaning.
One researcher reported how he saw a sign on a convent in Southern California that read, "Absolutely no trespassing. Violators will be prosecuted to the full extent of the law." Signed, the Sisters of Mercy.
Now what was wrong with that sign? It was giving a double meaning, wasn't it? And folks, as long as we resort to yelling, sarcasm and then the robot voice, we're doing the exact same thing. Our words are saying one thing while our tone is saying another. And as long as our tone is degrading, it's going to be taken as disrespectful. And once that happens, we're headed straight back to communication breakdown. Treat others the way you'd want to be treated. The second way we can display degrading behavior is by our body language. Hey, did you guys know that a person's body language or nonverbals are a powerful way to communicate a message? In fact, observing a person's nonverbals aren't as hard to pick up on as you might think. For instance, men, if you come home one day and find the front door locked, and then go to the back door and find it locked too, and then try getting in the house by crawling through the bedroom window only to have your wife smack you on the head with a 2x4, I'd say that's a pretty good nonverbal. Maybe it's just me, but I'd say her body language is trying to tell you something. Or maybe a good nonverbal would be when you ask your wife one morning if she'd make you a hot meal once in a while for breakfast, and she throws the cereal at you and says, "If you want a hot meal, mister, then you better light your cornflakes on fire." Five. Now, how many of you would say that there was something bigger than flaming cereal going on there? You see, when we communicate with each other, we might have all the right words, but we can still blow it by displaying disrespectful body language. For instance, when our spouse finally gets around to sharing what's on their heart, we can ruin it by rolling the eyes, folding the arms, tapping the foot impatiently, or putting the hands on the hips. Or worse yet, we'll ask our spouse if they're mad at us and they say, "Oh, I'm not mad." But as they say it, they're flaring their nostrils, or they're giving you the dreaded evil eye, or they have a fake smile with their teeth clenched. And I know none of you do that, but for those weird people down south, let me explain. You see, what's happening is that even though you have the right words, your body language is giving a double meaning. Our words are saying one thing while our body language is saying another. And as long as our body language is degrading, it's going to be taken as disrespectful. And once that happens, we're headed straight back to communication breakdown. But you might still think, come on. The tone and body language thing is kind of interesting, but I still don't think it's being too disrespectful. I mean, it can't be that big of a deal. But folks, did you know that it's estimated that 55% of any given message we send is communicated non-verbally, or in other words, by our body language? And did you know another 38% is communicated through tone of voice? Therefore, if you do the math, that means 93% of what we communicate is relayed through body language and tone. Only 7% of our message is communicated by our words. 6. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I'd say that paying attention to our tone of voice and body language really is a big deal. In fact, I'd venture to say that's why we experience communication breakdown 93% of the time. And people, as convicting as this communication game is, we all do it, don't we? Therefore, to avoid communication breakdown, we've got to stay away from degrading behavior. Treat others the way you'd want to be treated. And folks, this is the great news. Even if you've been experiencing communication breakdown for many years, believe it or not, healthy communication can flow again. But our problem is that when it comes to initiating communication in our marriages, we usually set ourselves up for another trap. How? Thanks for asking. We do it by minimizing its importance. You see, we make the mistake of thinking that communication isn't really that big of a deal. We say, "Oh, I know I need to communicate better. I know I probably should be more respectful. But if I don't, it's not the end of the world." And yes, learning to communicate may not be the end of the world. But you might wake up one day and discover, it was the end of your marriage. One person put it this way with an analogy of a mighty tree.
There was once a mighty tree that stood high upon a mountain. Year after year, it survived the hail, the heavy snows, the storms, and even the bitter cold. However, one day it finally fell down. How? By an attack of little beetles. And so it is with marriage.
Folks, just as deadly as a little beetle was to that mighty tree, so is an attitude that considers of little importance or minimizes the importance of communication. Oh, things might appear fine now, but you might wake up one day to discover your once mighty marriage has fallen to the ground. Why? Because without communication there is no relationship. And you cannot have a healthy marriage without a relationship. People of God, if we're ever going to avoid communication breakdown, then we've got to give each other some respect. Stay away from absolutes, stay away from mind reading, and stay away from degrading behavior. Folks, Being married doesn't mean your life is always going to be filled with personal pain and silent suffering. God never said that it'd be easy. He just said that it's going to take some time and lots of work. And if we'll just acknowledge the need for communication, and get busy giving each other some respect, then we're well on our way to having a marriage built to last.